What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 183, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback. And we're getting pretty close to Amazon Prime Day, I think it's what it's called.
Ooh, I had forgotten.
Yeah, Prime Day. They already discounted their Echo Dot third generation to half off already. So it's $24, which if you're in the Amazon ecosystem, use Alexa. That's the best price it's been since it was first introduced or whenever they had it on sale. Yeah, stay tuned for a lot more deals coming from Amazon. I'm actually pretty excited. I think about might pick up a TV, might pick up some other fun stuff. But yeah, with me, as always, I totally just didn't introduce him, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up? I was like, I feel like he's like leading me to chime in here, but he hasn't introduced me. I already accidentally talked before he did. I'm just ruining the format. Well,
that's all right. I think we're okay.
Excited for Prime Day, man. I got some shopping to do.
And one thing that is great about like Amazon devices, and they do select a few other devices, is that you can do payments with no interest. So like if you're kind of strapped for cash, like even that Echo Dot that I was talking about, that's $25, you can split that up into 5 payments. No interest, nothing.
Nice.
So like again, if you're looking to do a big purchase, maybe a TV, or even they actually do it on laptops too. So if you're looking for like a new gaming laptop or something, that's like $1,000, you can, I believe it's 5 or 6 payments you can split those into.
Spread it out.
And there's no interest. There's no like there's no credit check or anything like maybe you got bad credit.
Just a line of credit.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. They do it on all Amazon devices, but when it comes to these like Prime Day and Black Friday, there are a few non-Prime devices that they offer it for. So just keep a lookout for that as well. But typically, just not even on Prime Day, like all Amazon devices, they do give you the ability to split into payments, which is nice. You know, like I said, if you're strapped for cash, it's just, you know, it's
strapped
easy...
for cash, but you got to be able to talk to Alexa.
Yeah, or have a... They're actually, their DVR thing is something that I've been looking into since I'm a cord cutter, but we could talk about that in our time.
Sure.
Let's talk about our reviews this week, and we only have one product because I am deep in testing of Ryzen 3000 series, which we'll talk about at the end of the podcast, I guess. We'll do a little preview. But I took a look at an M.2 solid-state drive enclosure. It's from a company called Orico?
That's how I would say it.
Yeah, I'm not specifically sure.
Maybe Orico.
Orico sounds more professional, I would say. Mm. So this is a small little enclosure that is basically almost about as big as an M.2 2280 M.2 drive. It's just thicker. So think of like a USB flash drive, almost, just slightly bigger. And it's an enclosure, so basically you just put any M.2 NVMe drive in there, and it's USB 3.1 Gen 2, making it super, super fast. So I think this is great for, one, people who want fast portable storage. So this is one of the fastest portable drives we've tested. It beats out a lot of the USB 3.1 Gen 2 SSDs, portable SSDs that are out there, because those are SATA-based, and this is NVMe or M.2-based. So that's one thing. But also, I think a lot of people who, you know, were on the first gen of NVMe drives, you know, ones that, you know, we're on around 3,000, 4,000 megabytes a second. Now, you kind of replace those old drives, and yeah, you could have sold them or you could have just saved them or whatever. But, you know, with this, you have something that you can actually make use of that old drive with. And I think that's great. I think that, you know, like I said, this is like super fast. This is replacing my older SATA-based USB drives that I've been using. And it's just a cool little device. It's super easy to install. And what's great about it, it's an enclosure. It's not a drive. So you pick the drive, and, you know, down the road, you can go ahead and upgrade it as well. So maybe you might not have enough money for, like, it supports up to 2 terabytes. You might put, like, a 512 gig in there, and then maybe a year later, you put, like, a 2 terabyte in there. I mean, you can do kind of whatever you want with it. It's very inexpensive, too. I think right now, I believe it's around $45, but Orico is doing 10% off right now, and they're gave us a code for our readers for another 10% off, so that puts it around $35. So it's kind of like a no-brainer. This is something I would highly recommend. I would definitely recommend it well over a SATA based drive, and those are around the same price. If you kind of put it all together, you buy an M.2 plus this enclosure. And it's great. It's all aluminum, which I like, which means it's kind of rugged and it's really going to stand out. You know, it's not going to get broke or anything like that when you drop it, even though solid state drives shouldn't get broke when you drop them. Yeah. And it's small enough you can put it in your pocket. That's one thing I really like about it. You know, portable drives, they have gotten smaller and smaller, but with this, it's like I said, it just fits in your pocket. I have it permanently in my laptop bag, and they do include a USB type C to type C, but they also include a USB type C to type A, because not everybody has a type C connection. So I think it's just a cool little device. Like it's super,
so makes it useful for a desktop.
Yeah it's super useful. Like, and it's fast. It's we average right around 1,000 megabytes a second on USB 3.1 Gen 2, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
One of the limiting factors is the actual PCB that you install your M.2 on is an X. It's X2. The controller's X2. It's not X4. Hmm. And then you get to the theoretical limit of USB 3.1 Gen 2 as well, as you kind of combine those two together. But
yeah,
1,000 or just like basically a gig a second is much faster than a lot of portable drives out there. Yeah. Obviously much faster than a lot of flash drives and things like that too. So again, like I edit video on it, like portable, you know, when I'm on my laptop. Yeah, you should be able
to directly edit it.
Yeah, so it's fast enough for that. It's great for transferring files. Like I said, I'm testing Ryzen 3000 series. All of the game installs and all that stuff is on there. Swap it really quickly to the other test system. I don't have to wait. You know what I mean? It's
faster than your internal SATA connection. So
yeah,
on a traditional solid state drive. So
yeah. Yeah, that's twice as fast.
By twice. Yeah. Twice as much. So, yeah, you can easily do all of that stuff on it. That's pretty cool. And it makes use of, like, what would otherwise be maybe a useless part to you. I see this more as, like, you've got a leftover M.2 from an upgrade. Like, early adopters to that format probably bought smaller size, maybe a 128 for their OS, and that's all they've had. And so this makes, like, 128 for a cell, or like a flash drive is pretty still, that's useful, you know?
Yeah, that's like really
especially
useful.
At these speeds. So,
and like yeah, like I said, it's great for an upgrade because like that 128 gig NVMe drive, like you're really not going to sell that. It's going to be hard to sell right now, considering you know.
And it's not going to be what you get for it. It's not going to be worth your hassle, probably.
Yeah, so like this just gives you something that will make it useful, I think, which is really great. And like I said, the price isn't bad. And the only not really an issue, but it, like I said, it is all aluminum. So if like I have an aluminum laptop and that kind of brushing up against each other could scratch things. So I wish I would have put like some little feet on the bottom or something like that. But besides that, like it's just a cool little product. One that I would highly recommend. So check out the review. And like I said, if you have an old M.2, this is like perfect thing for it. Probably like the best thing you can really do with it at this point. So, check that out. And, that's our only review. So like I said, I'm working on a lot of awesome Ryzen 3000 series stuff, so not a lot of time for other reviews, but we have a case mod because of course last Friday was Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a build called Project Trinity, and it's from Byte Mods, and he was actually super excited we featured his build, and I think it's a good build. It's done inside the Fractal Design Define S, and we love Fractal Design cases. And I just think it's a good, like, it's just a good build. I can't get over the colors. Like, this is one of my favorite.
Oh,
like,
you penguin.
Nah, it's penguins. But no, but I think it reminds me of, like, a video game. Like, that specific yellow, like, it just reminds me of some type of, like, biohazard thingy. I don't know.
Okay, like Bioshock maybe? Yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. It's not much penguins or steelers. That's not the thing. It's just...
But Mr. Pittsburgh over here.
Yeah, but it is black and I guess yellow, you would call it. And I think it's done really well. One thing that really stands out is that he has hard tubing, and he has tubing that from the graphics card and CPU, but the lines look like it's just four tubes going across. Do you see that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Into the main feature. Yeah, into
it's actually
the...
that fifth one coming from. I guess it's a diagonal line, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, but it goes into the cable routing hole, which I think that not a lot of people make, like, when it comes to water cooling, most people like drill their own holes, and I think it's just a good use of that. And I just I don't know, I like those lines. It just
I don't think it goes where the cable routing hole would. No, it's close. He's actually got a custom partial back panel there. You can see where it, he's got the screws.
Oh yeah. I
with
see
the
that.
What do they call those where they are countersunk into? Anyways, they're little orange countersunk metal bits, for lack of a proper term. And so that attaches there, and it kind of covers it. Oh, it for sure covers all of the cabling that would be in that area going onto the motherboard. You can kind of just see the 24 pin peeking through. And then he's got a cutout with what looks like like a rubber grommet or just rubber material there, which is probably what made it look like the routing hole. Yeah. And all four of those are expertly crafted to go right through in like the most pro way ever so that they all line up perfectly. Yeah. And then he's got a bunch of fittings on the back, angled fittings, which actually is killing his flow here with all these 90s, but that's okay. but like he had to, because to get this to turn without running, you know, out the back of the case, he's got all these bends going around to keep them going, and it's really well done. I actually even love the use. He went all the way to get black flexi tubing for the back of it, so it just blends right in. It's matte black instead of just like clear, like most people have. A little bit of custom. Oh, that's a custom backplate actually too.
Yeah.
That covers that back panel. Yeah. So basically, he covers up all of the ugly bits with those panels, which is pretty good. And the custom front panel on the case. This is great. I really like this.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. It looks really well. And this guy, like I said, he was super excited that we featured him, Bite Mods. And I think he's kind of new to the modding scene.
Could be.
Or semi-new, maybe.
There's a lot. It's
so
hard,
great
probably
for
hard
him,
to get
and I think
really
this
out.
Is a great build showing off his skills. His custom front of the case as well. He completely redesigned that too. So definitely check this one out. We have a link to his Facebook as well, so you can check out some of the other stuff that he's working on. But yeah, definitely one to check out for sure. And then our video this week, as I said, we do a video every week. This week we have the ASRock Z390 Steel Legend. So this is our video on that motherboard. ASRock Steel Legend started on the AMD side with the B450, and now they've moved it over to Z390. It's actually a great sort of value Z390 board. It looks great with the white digital camo and everything like that. So definitely check out that video. I had a lot of fun shooting that one as well. And that brings us to news. And I think there's a lot of, not a lot of launches, but there's a lot of launches happening at the same time. And one happened today. And that was the NVIDIA Super Series. We've been talking about it for the past 2 or 3 weeks now, or maybe even longer than that, but definitely more in detail with all the leaks last week and the week before. This is sort of, I have a hard time calling it a refresh because it's not like a refresh. I'm not sure what you want to call it.
It is,
really.
Though.
It's a
modified version of an existing part.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can call it whatever you want. It's a special version of every other card they already have. So.
Yeah. It's like I hate when NVIDIA or I hate when companies do this in general. You know what I mean? They basically, I don't know what you want to call it. It's not a rebrand. It's not a refresh. It's just like, here, we're putting out this because the other company's putting out this. It's not new architecture. It's not new. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's nothing like that.
Well, yeah. So, okay. So, you're right in that sense that, like, it's not a year later and they're, like, saying this is new. Although it is. No, it's not. That was January that we got RTX. So it's obviously not. But it is, for every other intent and purpose, I mean, it's parts that we've already had that are cut down or in otherwise in other ways modified. So
yeah, the one thing that I think you'll be happy about, since this is, you always complain about GPU pricing, is we're getting more value for our money with this, at least in some ways.
They don't look terrible, the prices.
So going through the series, we'll start at the top. The RTX 2080 Super base price is $700, $699. This is going to be available a little bit later on July 23rd. The memory speed has been bumped up to 15.5 gigabits per second. NVIDIA is saying it's faster than the Titan XP. Basically, this is going to give you 2080 Ti speeds for the 2080 Ti.
It's so weird. It's so weird that they even did it then.
Yeah. And then next, of course, you have the RTX 2070 Super, $500, and I think this is the one that's a big value. This is faster than a GTX 1080 Ti, up to 24% faster on average, 16% faster than the current 2070, which was $699, right?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good value. Are you confused?
I'm just like, I'm so confused. Why are they?
I'll tell you in a second once we get through. So then finally we have the RTX 2060 Super. This is $400, $399, up to 22% faster on average, 15% faster than the current 2060, which is $349. This is the big one where you get more memory. So you get 8 gigabytes of GDDR6 instead of the 6 that was on the 2060 for a $50 upgrade. It's good. The reason NVIDIA is doing this is so that their normal cards, like the 2070, 2060 normal, so that they can compete in, because the prices will be dropped, so that they can compete in price and performance with AMD's 5700 series.
But
that's the whole reason. That's it.
Okay.
But in my opinion.
But they're we're going to get to it here. They don't need to compete.
They don't.
Did they misstep here?
No, because
there's no way they haven't like gotten leaks, right?
Yeah, but I think that it's just this AMD train is running with the processor stuff for sure. Okay. And NVIDIA has not like what NVIDIA has nothing to put out. Till pretty much next year. So
no press, you mean? Like nothing press to grab attention.
And I mean we'll talk about there are some leaks for the 5700 and 5700 XT, but if it does beat the 2070 and it's how much is it? $499? It's like $499 or $380 or whatever. That's a big deal, right?
But it doesn't.
Well, in the leaks that we've seen.
Yeah.
But it...
Should we just talk about this now since we're already here?
Yeah, so one of the other big news is that the 5700 cards, they did show up in the Final Fantasy benchmark on the official page. This does not show anything very good for the 5700 series. No. You do have to keep in mind that this benchmark is catered towards NVIDIA cards. NVIDIA cards perform better on it. But the 5700 XT is... Let me look at it here.
I think it's 8. Is it 18%?
Slower? The 5700 XT is... I gotta find it. Is 32.27% slower than the
2070.
Yeah, 2070. So
Bob's dying.
I'm trying to read through this. But yeah, so the performance that we're seeing in this test is pretty bad. Now,
not only that, but the pricing on the 5700 XT is only $450, rumored to be $450. Well, the 2070 is $500.
Yeah. I think that it's a whole mess until everything's out. I think that's the biggest thing is that one, we don't know. Well, the supercards are out and the reviews are out.
Yeah.
And it's it looks good. It's I mean, you're getting better performance for less money. Yeah. Essentially, the 5700 stuff, this benchmark makes it look really bad. One, this benchmark could have been done on early drivers, which, you know, the card doesn't come out till the 7th. And this was 2 days ago. Two, this benchmark does cater towards NVIDIA cards. But still, even with those two concessions, I think it doesn't look great. But you have to remember, too, AMD did show it in that one game that nobody heard of.
to be faster.
Yeah, to be faster. So I think that if NVIDIA has to know something to put the Super Series out, because if there wasn't going to be any competition in that 1070 or 2070 2060 segment, they wouldn't be putting out these super cards, because they completely wouldn't have to. You know what I mean?
That's why I'm wondering if they got scared, they got worried with, you know, that press release from Computex, or was that just after Computex?
It was E3, I believe.
Okay, yeah, E3. I wonder if they got worried and they were like, well, but Super was already being leaked, wasn't it? Super, I think the first little, like, stupid Super card came out at Computex.
The first leak was in March.
Okay.
So end of March. Before. Yeah, so I just think that this is the whole thing is that right now, 5700 and 5700 XT don't look that great, especially now since we have the super cards. Like, it's going to complete. If it's going to work out.
It wouldn't have looked good even if there wasn't super, because it's later. It needs to be much faster. So,
yeah. I think we can't make any judgment on the Radeon cards because they're not out, right? Yeah. And again, all we have is this leak benchmark. And we have what AMD said, and that's it. I think, like I said, on Sunday, when all this stuff comes out, we'll get kind of an idea of where these sit, pricing, everything like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And with the Super Series coming out in the prices that they are, AMD could also adjust their pricing too.
Well, they'll have to.
Yeah, so that's something to think about. But I think the Super Series, like I said, I think the biggest thing to take out of it is that we're getting more for our money.
More for better money. More for better money is always good.
Yeah, so that's good. And I think that's something that you've wanted for a while on the NVIDIA side, at least from the RTX series.
Dude, I just want cards that people can afford to buy.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Like, let people get on PC, right? Like, it's just ridiculous the way, like, dude, $800 for your flagship is just... I mean, that's not even the flagship. That's just the 2080. There's still the TI. I don't know what you want to call the flagship these days, I guess. But like,
well, at least you know now, I mean? You can get the 2080 Super for $699, which is...
That's pretty reasonable, man. Like, it's up a bit from, like, what we were used to, but that's in the... That would be the TI pricing from years past.
Yeah, and I think that... I mean, they say that the 2060 Super is faster than the GTX 1080. I honestly haven't had time today to look at benchmarks to see where it sits. But yeah. It's $400, 8 gigabytes of GDDR6. I mean, this is going to be... For $400, that's going to be...
I might buy that, actually.
That, I mean, $400, that could be like 4K low settings, 1440p pretty maxed.
Well, and 8 gigs is going to let you do from a... like professional perspective, that's going to let you do a lot of like number crunching, like, and you could do a lot at 4K with that,
and I think that will help a lot of people who are streaming too. I mean, moving them, yeah, to having that extra memory, so
yeah,
you know, I think I like it. I think that their hand might have been forced a little bit by AMD, but that's what we like. I mean, we talk about this all the time on the CPU side.
Yeah, wanting competition, yeah.
Like, we want competition. We want this. And even if it's not on the super high-end, like the 2080 Ti and all that stuff, this market is actually, for NVIDIA and for AMD, this middle performance segment is the most important, because that's where most people are buying. So
yeah, yeah. Yeah, for their longevity, it's super important.
Yeah, so I would say, honestly, if you're considering a super card, but you're kind of wondering what the AMD is doing, wait till the 7th. That's when the reviews will be out on the 5700 and 5700 XT.
5 days. You can make it 5 days.
Yeah, 5 days. So Just wait, and we'll kind of go from there.
I mean, you can't actually buy these right now anyways. So
no, you cannot. They don't come out to the 9th anyways. I don't even know if pre-orders are up. I think they are.
So let's check the leg.
But I'm not sure.
People really like taking your money even if the product's not available, so.
Yeah, that's true.
2060 Super? Super compact? Nope. Doesn't appear to be anything on Newegg.
Let's see. No. I don't believe so. No.
Probably told by NVIDIA not to take pre-orders on it. Maybe they don't have stock coming.
No, they probably do because all the partners cards come out on the 9th as well.
Oh, okay. Should be good then.
Yeah, so there's like I said, it's going to be, like I said, I think we're getting back to like not normal pricing that we're used to, but it's, like I said,
well, it's up, but it's also, it's been a few years, everything on the market is up, right? Like in general, pricing around every market is up, so it's going to increase. I think this is more reasonable. That's all I've kind of been asking the whole time is like, be reasonable, because nobody's, for the most part, people shouldn't like have to pay the kind of pricing that NVIDIA has been asking.
I agree.
So,
So also talking about graphics card stuff, more renders of Intel's Xe graphics card have made their way online. Intel actually put these out on their Weibo profile, which is basically the Twitter equivalent in China.
Bob, do we have a Weibo?
We do not. Sorry.
Well, maybe we should get onto that.
Is our username available? I actually tried to go to the thing, and you need to actually prove that you're in China to sign up.
Like, prove with like a driver's license or
no? Like your IP address.
Well, that's easy.
Well, yeah, you could VPN it, but it's just too much work. Anyways. So these are kind of like the same ones that we saw, from, what was that, Computex, which I don't know if this is going to be like a final thing, but this shows a lot more, and this shows like, we get to see the full back of the card, which looks like a normal backplate. It doesn't look crazy futuristic. We see ports on it now. We see 2 8-pin PCI Express power connectors on it. And if this is actually like at least something like this is what they're going for, I kind of like it. I like the design.
This is better.
Yeah. I don't know if, again, we don't know if this is like what the card's going to look like, but this looks more like a card that we would actually see compared to like that steampunk one they were showing at Computex.
Yeah, this is more realistic and less just imaginary.
Yeah.
Also, the artist on this did a much better job with the lighting and everything else. It looks more realistic.
Yeah, I agree.
The renders look better. The only thing I have to say negative about this design and the other designs is that for whatever reason, they all feel more like partner cards from AMD.
This almost looks like an EVGA card with I forget which one it is, but it has like,
I was gonna say XFX.
It kind of looks like XFX, yes. Especially the backplate. I would hope that this is kind of closer to what we're going to be getting compared to some of the other stuff. And like, Intel is not known for design.
not at all.
Look at any of their boxes for their products or any products that they put out. They're not a design focused company. So I would really hate to see like a boring, I would just say like, I guess you want to say like a beige box graphics card, because like that's kind of what you would expect from Intel.
Dude, but how awesome would be an actual beige box graphics card?
That would be kind of funny.
Vintage.
If this is like kind of the direction they want to go with it, it looks cool for your first graphics card. I would hope that you would hire a decent designer.
You need a whole team.
So we'll see. But again, it's something to look forward to. We probably won't see it till CES 2020. So,
which is still, that's a pretty good time frame, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's faster than I expected because we didn't. Intel GPU wasn't a thing we spoke about until maybe a year ago. 2 years ago?
I think a year ago.
Yeah. So that's possibly a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah. But again, we don't know if that's for sure. No. It could be the next CES. Like, you know how that stuff goes. Yeah. So yeah. But moving over to the CPU side, very interesting. If you go to the Passmark website and you go to their single thread performance chart, at the top is the Ryzen 5 3600, which is a $200 processor. It is beating That's out weird. An Intel i9-9900KF, an Intel i9-9900K, an Intel i7. It's beating all these high-end processors. Again, this is single thread.
Yeah.
Right? But does this mean that AMD is finally on parity or has beaten Intel at single thread performance?
Even if it's by how small that margin is, that's a feat they have been working towards for 15 years. Something like that.
Yeah.
An incredible amount of time.
Yeah.
It makes them square. I mean, we've already felt the shift. We've already made the shift. They are the performance leader in CPU.
Yes, currently.
There's really no debating that at this point. And this cements it because it's one thing to say that you can do it with cores. It's another to just flat out have the fastest process.
Yeah. And especially, again, that's a $200 part.
Yeah, that makes somewhat sense, though, because it is, isn't that their fastest part?
It's the
highest clocked, I think.
I'm not sure. They say,
which is going to, that's what's going to matter, obviously, in single thread.
Yeah, and again, all the other ones show, like, the clock speed. This does not. So
yeah.
is this overclocked? Like, what is this? We don't know.
And do we know if we probably do, but I don't. The KF, is that actually at 3.6 or is it at the boost of 5?
I don't know. See, we don't know. These,
okay.
Yeah. But
it's got to be boosted, though. Right?
Yeah, you would think.
It's a single thread Passmark test. It has to be able to hold the boost the whole way through.
Yeah, you would think. So this is like looks good for Ryzen.
Looks great.
Yeah, looks great. So we'll have to see on Sunday when all these reviews come out. You'll have to see what the performance is. But I mean, for a $200 part, that's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited, man.
Yeah.
Talking about more releases, Cooler Master actually released their special edition of their SK series keyboards. I actually have the special edition one sitting here. It literally came this morning. It is the SK650 white and SK. Wait, their press release is really. I literally copied the press release, and it says the SK650 light and SK650 light. It's the SK650
and 630.
Yeah. But anyways.
Whoever wrote it probably also took the photo.
Yeah, the photo's really bad. but yeah, so these are the white editions. These come with the white keycaps. I'm actually not sure how because this picture that they sent in the press release is pretty bad, but I'm not actually sure how the white in the, I guess, kind of silverish gunmetalish top plate is going to look together. I haven't even opened the box yet that it came in, so I can't really tell you, but we will have a review on it coming up, so I'll let you know. But yeah, white, I think this is great. Yeah. These keyboards like really lend themselves to like Mac users. This isn't the Mac.
I was gonna say, can we just go ahead and call this the Mac board?
Yeah. But it's gonna look great if you're using Mac, but these keyboards look awesome just in general.
Yeah.
I reviewed a bunch
they're
of
built
them.
Built really well too.
Yeah, they're built really well. So if you kind of were waiting for the white special edition, I don't know if they said how many. I think it's not like super limited edition or anything like that. But $159.99 for the SK650, $139.99 for the 630.
It must not be for Macs then, because if it was for Macs, the pricing would be like $600 and like 1200.
And it wouldn't come with a cable. The cable would
$100.
Yeah. But they actually they do have Mac versions. I don't know if this will be coming. I assume they'll, because these are Windows versions. So
they have
I
the proper Mac keys on them, right?
Yeah. But yeah, ColorMaster has done really great stuff with keyboards over this past year. So if you want a white keyboard, this is another choice, and you can definitely, we have a link where you can go ahead and check those out. And like I said, stay tuned for our review, which should be next couple weeks. I'll get that up for you guys. So
that was with the Cherry low profile RGB switch, is that right?
Yes. Cherry low profile switches, feels good. But yeah, moving into gaming news, one thing, probably, like I think I said this before, but Grand Theft Auto V, probably one of the best games ever made. One of the highest selling games, too. Just a great game overall. I played through it. And we used it for benchmarking for a long time, very long time. But it looks like Grand Theft Auto VI is in development, and it's under the codename Project Americas. There are multiple posts, one on Reddit and one on this place called Fire Den, where people close to the project or maybe working on the project kind of went through what this new game's going to be about. It's supposed to be based in like the 70s and 80s. In Rio de Janeiro, as I say that correctly?
I think you can say it however you want, since it's not a real place.
And it's kind of based off Narcos, or like inspired by Narcos, which is kind of cool. And you kind of rise up through one of these cartels and things like that. It's good. Seems like it'd be pretty exciting. I think that this is going to be a huge undertaking, just for the fact that GTA 5 was such an amazing game. It sold so well. People still play it, you know. I'm pretty excited for this. But one of the leaks said that it won't be out till 2022, 2023. So that's a long time off. But it's good to see it's in development. I think that after Red Dead Redemption 2, a lot of people have been kind of itching for a GTA game.
I mean, we're gonna get Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC before this, probably not.
Who knows?
That's a slow port.
I mean, the process for this is gonna be a longer process. Probably you probably see Red Dead Redemption on PC before this, just for the fact that the game is done.
But they took so long to port the original Red Dead that people were making jokes when Red Dead Redemption 2 got released that like it would be like a decade before we got it on PC. So
we'll
see. But especially if they are making another game, maybe it could take a minute.
Yeah, Rockstar makes great story based games, at least in my opinion. Like I said, I played through all of GTA 5 for the most part. Great game. So yeah.
By the way, I do know that Rio de Janeiro is a real place. I thought you were saying the name of the fake city. So
No, my bad. When you said that, I just let it slide. So.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I don't want to sound like a complete idiot to the world. So, yeah. Correction.
The other gaming thing is that the book Masters of Doom, which basically is the story of John Carmack and John Romero and how they founded ID Software, of course, the makers of Doom, and then how they became rivals and Quake and all that kind of stuff. That book is being picked up by USA Network for a pilot, so it can become a TV show, which is kind of exciting. We don't, as computer people, gaming people, we don't get a whole lot of content. Recently we have, I mean, but it's not done very well.
We've gotten a few things that are good, like Silicon Valley. It's not gaming, super gaming, but it's nerdy. It's right up our alley, I guess. And what's the name of the other one?
I know which one you're talking about.
Halt and Catch Fire.
Yeah, Halt and Catch Fire.
Halt and Catch Fire was fantastic. This kind of gives me Halt and Catch Fire feels.
Yeah, it does. So the executive producers are actually Dave and James Franco. And then Tom Bissell will be the primary writer. He wrote a lot of Gears of War story. He's written for Battlefield and Uncharted, as well as a bunch of other stuff. And the whole idea is that USA Network has ordered a pilot, but the if the show is picked up, the first season will go through like founding of ID Software and Doom and things like that. But then if it does well, you know, more the like as the seasons go along, it will be like big events in gaming history, which I think is pretty awesome. Like imagine having a show about.
Well, there's a lot of content there.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things you could talk about. I think this is one of the greatest stories because Doom is the original first-person shooter,
yeah,
basically. Go ahead.
Do you think it's big enough, though? Like, it's really big, right? But, like, it's also sort of niche to a certain generation. Well, it's a certain time span of individuals. It's not just a generation. Multiple generations. But, like it's also kind of PC, right? Like,
yeah, I agree.
It made its way other places and stuff over time, but like, is it too niche to like
to be a big deal?
Yeah, or, like to get it enough- almost. Yeah, it almost seems like it needs to sell not based on its Doom merits, but based on its like video game lore merits.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like I said, I really would hope like it gets picked up. At least we get a season.
Yeah.
Like I said, the pilot is the only thing that's ordered right now by USA Now. We're gonna get no time frame on this stuff. But it's exciting. Like I said, as computer people or gamers, we don't get a whole lot of content, and I think that like a TV show that's not just like a 1 hour documentary, you know what I mean? Like yeah. We have multiple episodes going through, you know, 8 hours or something total or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
It's like great. I think to have that type of content, if it's done well, like what was the show you just talked about?
Halt and Catch Fire.
Like the first season of that was amazing. So we'll keep you guys updated when we know more. But the pilot is being ordered, so hopefully it becomes something great. And we'll, you know, a year from now, we could be talking about season. You know, if they order season two, hopefully.
In our end of show notes, we can talk about how good it is.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, guys, that is the news for this week. Not a whole lot going on because we have a bunch of launches. But talking about launches, the Ryzen 3000 series is coming up and I've been testing it. I can't tell you what chips I have, but I can tell you that I've been testing two different chips and we will have those reviews on Sunday. And, you know, I think that, you know, Derek, you said this too, is like we've seen the Switch, and I think with this launch, you're going to see a lot of really awesome motherboards too. We talked about the pricing. The pricing of the boards is going to be, it's not going to be cheap by any means. It's not
friendly at all.
But the boards that I have here, they're all these remind me of like, I guess you could say like Z390 boards. I mean, like, they're just really well done, but like even the lower cost or lower end, I would say, boards are, they're built really well. Like all three boards I have here have like really good Wi-Fi. All three boards I have here have three PCI Express 4.0 M.2 slots. We're seeing, because the chipset is runs hotter, we're seeing integrated fans on these, but all of the motherboard companies have made those fan designs kind of go into the heatsink design for the M.2s. Like all these boards just seem very premium. And we had talked about this since Gen 1 of Ryzen, of how they just, the Ryzen boards just weren't as good as the Intel boards. And I think we're seeing that switch now. These boards look a lot better than Z390 boards. They feel better. They feel heavier. A lot of them have like full backplates on them. So I'm pretty excited for it. I think that, this is, besides the like the first launch of Ryzen, this is huge for them. And I think, like we said, it's the shift. This is the shift. This is like when it happened. And it's going to be something we talk about for a long time. But I can't talk about performance, but I can talk about PCI Express 4.0. I don't have any graphics cards to test to like tell you how that goes. But one of the things that I do have is I have a PCI Express 4.0 M.2 drive, and that thing is fast. And that's definitely something with this, if you're thinking about upgrading or thinking about choosing this over Z390, is that you're going to get much faster M.2 speeds, about 5 gigabytes a second, which is pretty damn fast.
Yeah, that's really quite fun.
Yeah. That's all I can really tell you guys right now. Stay tuned on Sunday. We'll have pretty much all the reviews launching then. We'll obviously on next week's podcast, we'll go over everything and kind of tell you a little bit more about it. I'm really excited to talk to you guys about that. We'll have a bunch of videos launching as well. But again, this is just remember this as like, this is when the switch happened. At least I think that's how it's going to kind of work out. On not only on performance, but on design and technology, you know, all of these boards are going to have better, you know, like I said, PCI Express 4.0 instead of 3.0 that you're going to get on Intel boards and things like that. It's just really exciting time, especially if you're an AMD fan, but this might bring more people over to the AMD side, at least on the CPU side of things. So definitely really exciting. I'm excited. I don't know. Are you excited? Are you gonna?
Yeah, I am. But I feel like you've definitely said all the things.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's not more. I can't say anything else.
But I don't even want to ask you anything because you can't say.
Yeah, I mean, I can answer some things, but I can't talk about performance. Yeah. And that's pretty much what everybody wants to know right now. So I can't say anything. But it's good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's something we've all presumed. It's really incredible because this is the first time I want to say a feature has come to AMD first, and that's probably the most telling to me. Is a real board feature. AMD has implemented a real board feature before Intel could do it.
Yeah.
And
it's just like I said, like the board design is really good. I guess you wouldn't call them like flagship boards, but I have like mid-range boards, not
top
like
tier, that. Top tier,
top kind of topper tier, but they're not like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, they're climbing up there.
Yeah, they're not like the super flagship, super expensive boards, but like all of them, well, the one doesn't, but two of them have like full backplates on them. All of them have PCI Express, or not P- oh yeah, all of them have rear.
All of them have PCI Express.
Yeah. All of them have a rear I/O, the actual cover on the back, so you don't have to put that in your case, you know, when you're doing it. Like all three of them have that. The heat sinks are great on all these. The boards feel heavy, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
So it's like
thick PCBs.
Everything is just I feel like I'm reviewing like a high end. Like, I feel like I'm reviewing, like, high-end desktop boards, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. So, guys, just, like, come back to the site on Sunday. A lot of stuff, a lot of cool boards, and it's just going to be a madhouse because that's when the graphics cards come out, too. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
the full NDA for Ryzen 3000 lifts Sunday. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think it's 9 a.m. Pacific, but I could be wrong. I'm not going to look it up now, but it is Sunday because that's the 7th, and that's when the NDAs also lift on the 5700 and 5700 XT. We don't have those, so we can't tell you about those, but there's a ton of other sites that will have reviews and all that stuff.
Yeah, you can go read about performance somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, but we'll talk about it, obviously, next week on the podcast, too, so definitely stay tuned for all of that. That kind of ends the podcast. I know I have to get back to testing stuff so I can get it done by Sunday. So we talk about stuff at the end of the podcast. It looks like you have something in the notes that you want to talk about.
I mean, I just, it's something I did, so thought I'd, you know, have something to say.
Yeah.
I watched The Post, which actually I realized came out in 2017, but it was an Oscar nominee. It's just about the presidential cover up of the Vietnam War investigation and how the government knew for like many presidencies that we couldn't win, and yet they continued to send people there anyways. So it's super interesting from tons of perspectives, because it's just super, government is so super corrupt, and all people with power will do things to keep power and save face. So it's just a good movie if you haven't seen it. I had slept on it.
I haven't seen that one. I was thinking about a different movie. I forget what that one's called. But I also had time, surprisingly, to watch a movie.
What did you see?
I watched Alita Battle Angel.
Oh, good.
Very good. I didn't know the backstory. Like, after I watch movies, I always like the backstory. I didn't realize that it was like an anime, and all that, and I didn't know any of that. And it's for, I guess this is, you would call it live action, but like, I mean, she's CGI, so it's not like completely live action.
Yeah, but there's real people in it.
Yeah, so like for real that actors. Type, again, I didn't watch or read any of the previous stuff. But for, we've seen a lot of movies just get really screwed up in live action. Let's just say that. Yeah. I thought it was really good. I liked it. Some of the scenes were a little too kind of corny in some points, but I think it was done really well. I liked it. Definitely worth watching, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's an overall nerd win.
I agree with that. Nerd
thumbs up.
Yes, I agree with that. So, yeah, guys, that's it. Like I said, sorry this one's kind of quick, but I got to get back to testing so we can get those reviews out for you. But everything that we talked about will be in our show notes, which is on the show notes page, which we have linked, and you should be able to see it. But if you're looking for us in your favorite podcasting app or software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.